He'd tried to rent a hotel room on his first night on the road. It was a test of the experiment. The static, not even a hum when he was on foot in the Cascades, and barely a whisper when driving on narrow back roads, began to fizz in the back of his head as he rolled into the parking lot. The sparks flared in the lobby and turned to lightning bolts as he walked the long, maze-like hallway to his room. It was the enclosure of the walls, but also the fluorescent lights and the chemical smell of the cheap carpet. The room's tiny window didn't even open. He managed a quick shower with his heart racing, his whole body clenched like a fist, somehow resisting the urge to hurl the TV out the window and burn the place down. He got outside fast, still dripping, barely dressed, head aching like it was split open. Maybe he was just allergic to the modern world. After that, he slept in the truck. It was the big glass of the windshield, he thought, that kept the static low. Not as good as a canopy of stars in the Cascades, but he didn't mind it, even as autumn slid downhill toward winter, and he could roll down his window whenever he wanted. He was used to waking up cold and hungry in the mountains. In fact, he liked it. It made him feel strong, ready, like his motor was running, like he could do almost anything. The big dog whined softly in the back. When it changed position, the whole vehicle rocked on its springs. Even after Peter had poured the cooled broth into its mouth the night before, it hadn't wanted to get into that dark, unfamiliar box full of strange smells. He had to knock it over and climb inside, carrying the damn thing in his arms like a giant growling baby. What would it cost to feed a dog like that? When he bought the truck in California on an early stateside rotation, the pickup bed was rusted out. He'd replaced it with a mahogany cargo box, 5 feet wide, 9 feet long, with a marine plywood roof high enough for Peter to walk under, as long as he hunched over a little. It was also, Peter had to admit, sort of an art project. There were windows on both sides of the cargo box, and a skylight in the roof, all salvaged from a wrecked sailboat. The interior was finished with custom maple cabinets neatly organized, places for his tools, a cooler for groceries, a hook for a lantern, room to roll out his sleeping bag if he had to, home for a wandering jack-of-all-trades. Of course, as it turned out, he couldn't actually sleep back there. The walls were too close. The dog whined again. His jeans were stuffed into the bottom of his sleeping bag to keep them warm. He pulled them up before shucking the sleeping bag. The last thing he needed was a neighbor calling the police because of the naked guy. With bare feet stuffed into his unlaced combat boots, he got out of the truck and walked around back in a cold November wind. He opened the cargo box door carefully in case the dog had gotten loose. It shied away from him, but at least it wasn't growling. Peter stepped up and checked the rope holding the stick in its jaws. The rope was fine, but the dog had chewed the shit out of the stick. White oak, one of the hardest woods out there, almost 2 inches thick yesterday. There was a lot less of it today where those teeth had done their work. It was hard to tie the leash to a tree while the 150-pound animal was trying like hell to get away from him. He was going to have to do something about the dog, and soon. But first, coffee. He pulled out the backpacking stove, set it on the parking strip with his camp chair, and fired up the old tin percolator. With real cream from his cooler, it tasted pretty good. Real cream was a luxury he didn't have in the mountains, where he'd stirred instant cocoa into instant Folgers, although he'd learned to love the sugary rush. Anything would be better than battlefield coffee made by pouring a single-serve packet of instant in your mouth dry, then chasing it with plastic-tasting water from a sun-heated bottle. He wasn't ever going to drink that again. He wasn't going to eat another MRE either, only real food. After cooking up eggs scrambled with sausage and sliced jalapenos and leftover rice in his battered fry pan, he set aside half the food to cool and wrapped the rest in a tortilla. Then sat and ate and watched Dinah's house and thought about the $400,000 and pale, pliable rectangles found in a suitcase. It wasn't modeling clay. It was plastic explosive. Peter could tell by the chemical smell. His platoon had used it for everything from breaching doors to blowing up enemy ordnance.